Welcome back to Beyond the Uniform. I'm Justin Asiri, and each week I interview military veterans about their civilian career. Today is episode number 91 with Dog Tag Brewing founder Seth Jordan.
Wanted to use something that I thought was special and tied to my Marine Corps time, which is a kind of a celebratory nature of using beer as a way to give back. And then I'm proud to say that, you know, this kind of grew into a movement, and we're excited about the work that we do.
Well, deep down inside, I think almost every veteran thinks or dreams of starting their own brewery, and Seth, my guest today, actually did it. What's even cooler, though, is when he set up Dog Tag Brewing, he set it up in a way where all of the profits, 100%, are donated towards causes that support military families, and he set it up in a way where, as he'll explain, it's donated to the nonprofits that those people choose. So I know a lot of you are probably drawn to the title about the brewery. I think you're going to learn a lot more about giving back, about philanthropy. But a couple of reasons why I think you'll enjoy this episode, and it is big on entrepreneurship. A couple of things that I remember from our interview, he just does a great job of talking about mentorship. And regardless of what field you go into, mentors are so valuable of helping you learn, asking you challenging questions, helping you stay ahead, and as Seth points out, helping you make smaller mistakes. And so he talks about how to find those mentors, how to really leverage them effectively. He talks about work-life balance, about turning off at home and staying fully present when you're there, about delegation, about resilience, about how there's this tendency to rush into things when you get out of the military, and some things he wished he had done differently. And also just about getting involved in philanthropy early on, right as soon as you leave from the military, and how that fills in a lot of the connections that a lot of us miss and surprisingly teaches you a lot about business. For those of you who like this episode, three episodes came to mind while I was speaking with Seth. The first is episode number 60 with Matt Miller, who talks about founding a vending machine empire. And Matt and Seth share this thread of building a company in order to build the life they want for their family. Episode number 71 with Jeff Teagues, he talks about the Guardian Group and how he is using his skills to give back in a way that Seth, I believe, is giving back with his business. And then lastly, episode number 38 with Chris Shaw, who's at Bunker Labs. Seth talks about how Bunker Labs is a great resource. That's worth checking out as well. There's show notes at beyondtheuniform.io. You'll find resources and links to everything we discuss here, Dog Tag Brewing, all the books, all the podcasts we mention. For those of you who are listening who like audiobooks, who want to take advantage of that time driving, running, working out, you can check out at beyondtheuniform.io/books. You'll see a free offer from audible.com. You will get, as a Beyond the Uniform listener, a free audiobook. In today's episode, Seth references a book called Rocket Fuel, one that he recommends for all entrepreneurs. You can get that book for free with this offer. So with that, let's dive in to my interview with Seth Jordan. Well, joining me today in Bozeman, Montana is Seth Jordan. Seth, welcome to Beyond the Uniform.
Well, thank you. Thanks for having me.
So for listeners, I want to give you a quick background on Seth. He is the founder and president of Dog Tag Brewing, a brewery that provides the highest quality crafted beers that deliver a message of gratitude for the selfless sacrifice of our nation's military. He's set this up so that proceeds from Dog Tag Brewing sales are donated to causes determined by the families of fallen warriors. Seth started out at Clemson University in South Carolina. He went to work for ESPN in New York, but felt compelled to serve after 9/11. And then he served as an officer in the Marine Corps for almost 10 years as a naval aviator and UH-1 helicopter pilot with over 250 combat missions. And he started Dog Tag Brewing after leaving the Marine Corps. So Seth, maybe to start off, I'd love to learn about what caused you to join the Marine Corps in the first place.
Yeah, sure. Always felt the desire to serve. And, I think that living and working in New York City and having lived within a block of the World Trade Center, being there in the city that day, just really cemented my decision to serve a higher calling. And it was a blessing that kind of grew up in a town. I grew up in the greater Newport, Rhode Island area, which was a lot of my friends' fathers had served, you know, both in the Marine Corps and the Navy. So I was kind of exposed to it a little bit. But after 9/11, it was really kind of what I thought was going to be the next step for me.
And during that 10 years in the Marine Corps, at what point did you know you were going to leave the military, and how did you approach that decision?
Yeah, I think for many of us, you never know. You know, I think for me personally, and I can only speak for my own, you know, for myself here, is, you know, I loved it. I really did. I loved my time in. You know, I believed in the mission that we did. You know, being a pilot, and also to mention I was a JTAC, so I just loved our work. I mean, it was always about helping others, and you could always see those results. But as you know, multiple combat tours, a lot of time away from family, flying is inherently a very dangerous business, and I felt for me personally that I had set some goals and I achieved them in those 10 years. And for me, it was about what potentially could be next. And then that was a combined decision with my family about it starting a new life.
And at what point did you decide to, or even think of starting your own brewery? Was this like a long time ambition, or how did you come up with that idea?
You know, because I had worked right out of college for a big company in New York City, and combined that with nearly a decade of service in the Marine Corps, I knew I just wanted to work for myself. I would always kind of had the entrepreneur bug, and I always wanted to find a way to combine the service, you know, my experience in the Marine Corps with something that could be to give back. And, you know, the vision for Dog Tag was started early as how could we create something that was designed to help others? And I did a lot of research and kind of mimicked a model that was very similar to the late actor Paul Newman, who created Newman's Own and Newman's Own Foundation, which are products where his motto was to give it all away. And wanted to use something that I thought was special and tied to my Marine Corps time, which is a kind of a celebratory nature of using beer as a way to give back. And then I'm proud to say that, you know, this kind of grew into a movement, and we're excited about the work that we do through the product, but really through the work that we do through the foundation, the Dog Tag Brewing Foundation, which is a 501c3 charity that actually executes on that work.
And let's go into that. So I just love that concept. I'm really blown away that you've set this up so that all the profit from your company goes to not just help veteran causes, but you even put the power in the hands of the families who have lost that loved one in the military. And I guess for listeners who aren't familiar with Dog Tag Brewing and the foundation, what would you like them to know about this organization you've created?
Yeah, the foundation is the bread and butter, right? I mean, the beer is just the tool to provide the awareness and revenue for the work that we ultimately want to do through the 501c3, through the charity. The charity, its mission is to support and enhance Gold Star family initiatives. And what that means in simple terms is that a Gold Star family member, which is someone who's lost a loved one in service to our nation, has something special that they are trying to do to honor their loved one's memory and to use their pain and try to turn it into purpose. But largely they do this alone and sometimes without the guidance and tools to be successful. And for us, what we're trying to be is that backstop or that resource to provide not only financial grants, but free consulting and advisory services for those charities and those causes that are designed to live on in their loved one's name and to do good in their community. And I think everyone, if I may, can get behind, you know, supporting the work of these families. And again, none of them had ever asked for this, but they feel compelled to do something in their loved one's name. And I think if anyone has any experience or any of your listeners are having any experience with nonprofits, it's tough and it's a lot of work. And I think that the families enjoy knowing that we're bringing some resources that they have asked for and they appreciate.
That's awesome. I mean, I think, you know, when I think of startups, when I think of founder, I always think of some element of being driven by money, someone trying to strike it rich, someone trying to start the latest .com and just trying to blow up. And I'm wondering, was it hard for you to set this up as something where it's just straight? I mean, it's so philanthropically driven. Was it hard for you to like, make that decision to make this oriented towards helping others rather than, I don't know, striking it rich like most people who start a company?
Yeah, I mean, I think for us, the decision was simple. I mean, it really, you know, for 10 years of service and wearing the uniform, you know, we come from a world where we say we and not I. And I think that was very easy. It was like, hey, how do I do something special where I can take care of me, my family, and especially others with the work that we do? And that, you know, kind of really came to a decision that I wanted to spend my adult life helping others. So whether that was in uniform or when we got out. And, you know, the folks that are part of the team now are guys and gals that I had served with. And it was this easy answer to have them to come on board. And everyone's kind of doing their part. But, to answer your question, it was, you know, this was just one step of many different things that I hope to do in my own personal life. But the work of this foundation would be kind of our gift to kind of create awareness for something that most Gold Star families can resonate with, is the fact that the term Gold Star family is relatively unknown. We're excited to do our little part to shed light on them, the term, what it means, the work that they do, to provide financial resources and the resources in the terms of advisory pieces, so that their charities can be special. I mean, it was a no-brainer for us. So hopefully that resonates not only with veterans, but just, you know, all red-blooded Americans who believe in their communities.
That's awesome. No, that's really, really inspiring. I'm curious about starting the brewery, and I'm thinking right now of maybe a veteran who's out, or maybe someone who's on active duty who aspires to either start a brewery or just start their own company. And I'd love to learn about your story of kind of like how you tactically went about starting the brewery, and in particular, anything you learned in starting a business that you'd want veteran listeners to know.
Yeah, sure. I mean, I think, you know, starting a business is, whether it's, like you said, beer or beverage related, it starts with some hard work, right? You know, you got to make a commitment to doing the research, a lot of due diligence, understanding what's in the industry. I think that there were, you know, when you make any decision to try to get into something, I think what the big thing that all veterans need, especially with starting their own business, is a mentor. You really need to have someone, whether who has gone before you, who's ready to lend his or her experience. And I think that was the one thing that I did well, that I would provide advice to others, was that, just like as a young Marine Corps officer, you're only as good as the people around you, and surround yourself with good, you know, with others, to make, you know, the combined effort special is something that we learned then. So it's no different in business. And I would offer advice to anybody who's trying to start their own business, is that you can't do it alone. You got to find others who are willing to provide that kind of, basically lend themselves to you, to ask the right amount and the most appropriate questions. And then from there, you know, I ask folks to, you know, to maybe an extension for that, and put them on my advisory board to help provide, you know, a backdrop for asking questions. And then also to make sure that I wasn't going down a path that would be detrimental, not only financially, but also with time, which to me, I think is the hardest thing. And the other big piece of advice I would give was, which I was very fortunate and was very unexpected, was to get involved with philanthropy early. You know, I had this vision for it, but then I also, at the same time, when I got off active duty, got involved with an organization that provided trips and resources for some of the most severely injured veterans from Iraq and Afghanistan and brought them up here to the beauty of Montana. We took them on guided fly fishing tours and really worked with them on getting them kind of ready for the next stages of their life in a post-injury environment. And for me, it just, philanthropy just changes your heart, right? So you come from a hardened world in the Marine Corps, and you're in this world where you're always tough and you're never vulnerable, because you never really realize that, because you're surrounded by the guys and gals that you work with every day. But when you get out on your own, sometimes you feel like that. You're quote unquote out on your own. And I think philanthropy, getting involved with philanthropic projects, is something that not only do you feel like you're part of a quote unquote mission again, you're part of a team, you have access to other resources, it gets you tied into the pulse of the community. And then more importantly, I use that opportunity to also build those mentors that I described earlier, people who were very, very successful in business in different fields, and their connections and their expertise was something that was invaluable to me. And I think that didn't just happen by luck, it happened because of the work and using that to network, which again, I think is something as a challenge for veterans, because, you know, I think the word networking almost seems like a kind of a sleazy word, but honestly, it's building relationships. And I think that you use that to your advantage so you can make better decisions, just like you would when you were in the service. You want to make sure that when you're making a decision that you're well-informed and that you have the support of others to accomplish that goal. Hopefully that made sense.
Yeah, that's great, man. I mean, I completely, it completely resonates with me, that thought of like, you can't do it alone. And I'd love to dig in on this advice, because I think it's really spot on.
Sure.
I'm wondering for veterans who are seeking a mentor. So you talked about meeting them through this philanthropy, through getting involved in the community. I'm wondering other advice you have on how to find a mentor. And then also how to evaluate, you know, like at what point you make that decision of trying to bring them on in more of a formal role, and like how to know if they're a good fit. Because I'm curious if like you went out and was it that you met someone and you're like, this person has a lot I could learn from? Or was it more of, these are the five things that I need to learn about, and therefore I'm going to find someone who knows one of these five things, if that makes sense?
Yeah, let me do this. You know, maybe provide a scratch behind the surface a little bit about a little bit more fidelity on my personal experience. You know, I got off active duty, kind of had this plan, didn't really know how to enact it, and by chance, through a friendship, told a friend about what I was thinking. Kind of had this idea for this business model, this plan, and it was just like the scenario you hear about, where this gentleman was like, well, you know who you need to talk to? You need to talk to this guy. And of course, I was introduced to that individual, and he sat down. He was very excited to help and listen. And I think that what I would say to your listeners is that being a veteran helps, okay? So we already have things like integrity, honor, courage, and it's one of those things where like people want to help you, okay? So I took advantage. I don't want to use the word take advantage, but I used that opportunity that was presented to myself, met this individual, and just through coffee, really exposed a different way of thinking. And a lot of this was too numerous to, you know, for the purpose of this show, but the reality was asking questions. And what he was saying is, what's next, and what's next, and what's next. And what he did with me was, you know, he came to me and said, listen, normally I charge $500 an hour for this, and I'm happy to get coffee with you once a week for the next couple of months, and just to make sure we're pushing you in the right direction. You know, and did he have alternative motives for, hey, if we became successful, maybe he would invest or be involved with the work that we do? Who knows? But at the end of the day, he provided me with a lot of lessons and a lot of coaching that really pushed me in the right direction. And the next thing that I'll offer was, you know, again, doing some research, I found three individuals in the beer industry that were kind of a who's who. They were the burning bush subject matter experts in the industry. I had stalked them for better luck than a word to say, hey, can you help me? We need some help. And because of my background, because of being a Marine, they wanted to. And from there, it just opened up almost every single door that we needed to get unlocked and opened. And again, that's kind of like a short version of what had taken place over the, probably the course of a year. But again, that's my story. And I would recommend others to do and go find the most appropriate people that can lend their expertise, and then also open those, quote unquote, open those doors for others.
You know, and I appreciate in your story too, the willingness to ask for help, the willingness to take people up on those offers. And, you know, even when you're talking about it, I can hear it, like you talked about how networking often feels off for veterans. And then also, I forget how you put it, but like this sense of using the military background or using the uniform can be difficult for a lot of veterans. And I think that's true. And so I like that in your story, you found these people and you were willing to accept help. And I think that that's a learning point sometimes for veterans, to be open to that, to not feeling bad about saying like, yeah, I was in the military. Like that can open up doors, and being open to letting that open doors rather than resisting it.
Yeah. I mean, again, it's no different from your time in the service, right? I mean, there's not one person who accomplishes a mission by themselves. I can't think of one particular instance in my 10 years of both in combat and in garrison where a task is put in front of you and you accomplish it by yourself. It's just, it's unrealistic. It's the same thing in business. So I think I would also caution, you know, and I would just add this too. I think a lot of times, veterans become a little bit too over-reliant on their uniform in the past experience. And I think that that would lead to a lot of frustrations. I think that they need to have a healthy balance, understanding where they came from, but have a clear plan of where they want to go, and to never lose sight of their service, but to make sure that that continues to provide kind of a compass for where they want to go.
That's great. And one other question I had with the mentorship is, I'm sure it varies by the person and by the stage of the company, but how often do you meet with your mentors or with your advisors? I know that, you know, entrepreneurship can be all consuming, and sometimes there might be that desire to just get as much as possible from people. And so I'm wondering what sort of cadence you set for meeting with them and for having them be able to ask those questions that will help guide you in running the company.
Yeah. I think the answer is not enough, but also not too much. Right. So for me, I think I'm guilty just as much as anyone if about not using my time properly to make sure that I'm staying or keeping those advisors informed well enough so that they can actually provide good guidance. But at the same time, being respectful of their time, which I think is one of the probably the biggest reasons why mentors or people who are perceived as mentors don't or afraid to lend themselves as a quote unquote mentor to others, is because people who are very successful, the thing that they value most is not money, it's their time. And they want to make sure that they're actually providing something of value to you, just like you want to be making sure that you are receiving something of value. So, for example, I have, you know, for the foundation, you know, I'm the chairman of the board for the 501c3. But we also have a national advisory board who are individuals who are who want to lend their name and advice to the work that we do. And you got to be very respectful of who they are and how busy they are. But at the same time, you can't burn them by, you know, not keeping them in the loop. So if this sounds familiar, it's just like the military, right? You know, if you want to continue to do well, you got to make sure that the folks below you and above you, who you report to and who you're responsible to, are all in the loop. And but I would say just be conscious of the time of the let me just say this, be very respectful of the time for those people who want to lend it to you. And I think if you use it right, they'll take care of you.
That's great. And I was also wondering about, I think it's always helpful for listeners to hear about that tangible feel of what your day-to-day life looks like as an entrepreneur. And so I'm wondering if you think back to, let's just say last week, if you were to pick a random day from last week, could you just walk us through what your day was like with the intention of providing listeners for just a glimpse into the life of an entrepreneur or the life of someone who runs a foundation and a brewery?
Yeah. I mean, you know, as an entrepreneur, I think of ADD, right? and how to combat that. I mean, most, and I say that kind of tongue in cheek, but you know, you have so much going on your plate, and sometimes you'll feel like you're all over the place. But at the end of the day, for better lack of a word, you're the CEO, right? So you're the CEO. You're responsible for a lot of different things. You're not necessarily delegating, because usually in a startup, you don't have those resources. You don't have the personnel or the financial resources to get a lot of things done. Sometimes you have to do it yourself. So time management is of the utmost importance, right? If you can't, otherwise you're going to be doing things really late, all the time, odd hours. And again, back to the question we were talking about before, with is that balance. I think the hardest thing for entrepreneurs is understanding balance. You know, it's actually, I'll put this in this conversation, ironically, did come up last week. And I think the challenge that entrepreneurs have, especially with veterans, you know, for us who have been deployed, right? You're there by yourself, right? You leave your family behind. You're downrange. You're in the mission. Your head's in the game. You're getting everything done. Now imagine that same scenario where you're in a combat scenario where your family's there, right? Maybe you got your wife and maybe a couple kids running around, and they're sitting in, you know, we're in the LSA where you guys, you know, bed down every night, and you got to get the mission done. You got to prepare for the, you know, for the next day. You got X, Y, and Z. And then next thing you know, your family comes in and is like, hey, can we just hang out, maybe watch Netflix? Like, you want to do those things, but at the same time, you know that you're responsible for all the work and the success of your, whatever your organization is or your company. And I think that that's a hard thing. So not that I'm trying to pit mission success versus family, but I think where entrepreneurs have a tough time or don't do well is they'll focus on the work, but sometimes they forget about family. And I'm just as guilty of that. And that's my advice for others when they get into this line of work, to be very cognizant of that. And again, a quick plug, you know, I hear a lot of folks that want to go into business together with their spouse or their family. And I would advise against that, just because I think it's a tough situation when things don't go well.
Mm, yeah. I'm wondering, do you have have you found any tips that work well for that? Because I really, for the work-life balance piece, I completely relate with that. I've heard that from other entrepreneurs as well. And I'm wondering what has helped you know when to shift from one to the other, or when to kind of back off on work and focus on families, or anything that's been particularly helpful for you in doing that?
You know, I'll tell you what, I'll make a plug for a book that I read that was brought to my attention by others that saw me failing in certain regards, or just thought I could get some nuggets out of this book. It was a book called Rocket Fuel, and it discussed the difference between visionaries and integrators, which are the people who actually get it done. And so they're never the same. And I think that a lot of these, it really does talk about the division of labor, who's supposed to do what and when, where tiebreakers occur, battle rhythms. So kind of like your work plan and how to get through things. Not that that has all the answers, but I would make up that plug to any aspiring entrepreneur, to read that book. But then to answer your, you know, to really answer your question, one of the things that I just kind of came to the conclusion was, is that when you go home, you got to just turn it off. Okay. And when you say turn it off, I mean, turn it off. Like, don't just, I'm only going to check text messages. I'm only going to do this, unless you have like in a major emergency, and just be upfront with your, you know, your family member, like, hi, I have a real issue. Got to make sure I have the phone on. But when it's time to go home and sit down to dinner, or just spend a time with your loved ones, spend that time and turn your phone off. Don't be checking it. Don't be there, but not there. And I use that term because I've been guilty of that. My wife has said that, where you're sitting down at dinner, she's talking to you, but deep down she knows you're quote unquote not there because you're thinking about something else. Do yourself a favor, learn how to turn it off. It's not your business will not fail in one night because you didn't do X, Y, or Z. Learn how to manage that. And then, and I think the biggest piece of advice is how to stay ahead constantly. Like if you recall from the beginning of this conversation, where I was with that mentor, that established venture capitalist who just had been exposed to a lot of different businesses, and said, you have to always ask yourself what's next. And I think if you ask yourself what's next, you're using your time wisely, so you can stay ahead of the issues And then when you make mistakes, you're going to make them small, which is the most important thing when you're starting a new business as well.
Yeah, I love that thought of just trying to be fully present, like fully present at work, fully present at home, making that an on-off switch. I think that's like great, great advice. And I also really love that thought of trying to always anticipate what's next and focusing on making the smaller mistakes, even though like mistakes are inevitable, but maybe making them smaller through just trying to stay ahead of issues. I think that's really, really sound advice.
Can I make one more little nugget there? Again, I'm saying these things and I should take my own advice, but you know, one of the other things is, you know, making sure that you can delegate as appropriate. Sometimes you just have to have trust in others. I think the other issue that, that entrepreneurs have is because they have a feeling that if they don't do it themselves, it won't get done on time or properly or to the expectations that they would like, that leads to constantly doing things after hours or more. And at some point, in order for your business to be successful, it has to be bigger than you. And I think that you need to be able to delegate as needed in order to be successful, just like in the military, right? So that's just one other piece that I'd like to offer.
That's great. As you look back on your service in the Marine Corps, I'm wondering, what would you say was the most valuable skill that you took away from the Marine Corps that's helped you at Dog Tag Brewing?
Resiliency. You know, you got to have that to be successful. I mean, let's face it, not everything goes well. And it doesn't go to plan all the time. So the ability to kind of use that to bounce back, learning when to pivot or iterate or to make a hard decision about, hey, something's not working, is I think some of the important things that I've learned.
And then since you left the Marines, I'm wondering what has been one of the skills that what's like one skill that you've really had to develop that you didn't really learn in the Marine Corps, but it was really crucial to starting your own company?
Yeah, I don't know what word I would use, but I'll just describe is that, you know, when you're in the Marine Corps, you have that level of expectation about your fellow Marines, right? So when you give an order, or if you're taking an order, or when you're working in a group, people just put their head down, do it. And you have, and at times you can get pretty tough with folks, both verbally, right? And kind of in a command presence, if you know what I mean. You can't do that in the civilian world, right? You know, you can't go in there and start knife handing people and barking at them and you know, using kind of an intimidation and scare tactics with a pretty loud voice, right? You know, that kind of drill sergeant type mentality. It doesn't work. And not that I'm saying that I did that, but I think it also is very tough to kind of make sure that the expectations are there. And I think the other thing for entrepreneurs that I found, and I can give an example of this, is there's going to be people who let you down. So whether it's people you work with, your suppliers, you know, one of your vendors, you know, when you pay them money in exchange for their services and they don't meet timelines, or they just fail, or they only provide 70% of what you ask for, and that level of expectation is hard to meet. Now, I'm not saying you have to accept that, but I think I'd just say be prepared for that, if that makes sense.
That's great. That's great. And you've been in this business now for 4+ years, and in startup years, that's the equivalent of like 28 years. It's a lifetime of experience in that time. I'm wondering if you could go back in time 4 years ago, you know, 4 or 5 years ago, to right when you gotten out of the Marine Corps, and you were going to give yourself one piece of advice about starting your own company. I'm wondering what do you wish you had known back then? What would you tell yourself 4 or 5 years ago?
Oh wow. Well, there's a lot of different things. I think for me, I kind of rushed into things because of the perceived notion that I had to be successful and right away. I think coming from the service, you know, especially in the Marine Corps, you know, we're not used to failing, right? So, or we're used to being doing well, and I think that I kind of rushed into a lot of things. And I'll be perfectly honest that we were more lucky than good in a lot of occasions. And sometimes you need that, but at the same time, I just wish I had taken a little bit more time, done a little bit more homework. Part of the journey, I would just say, part of the journey of being, you know, starting your own business, or no matter what it is you will make mistakes. And I think I wish I knew that too. You will make mistakes. That's part of the journey. It's about making them small and making sure that they're not going to be the end of your business.
That's such great advice. I love that. And I love that shift in mentality where just recognizing that mistakes are part of the territory. And, you know, because I've thought about that a lot, where it's like mistakes seem catastrophic in the military and it's just part of life, especially as an entrepreneur. But I love that thought of taking it a step further and saying, like, not only is it part of the journey, but my goal is to make them as small as possible. And like you said, to make sure they don't ruin the business. I think that's if that was one piece of advice I could give to a veteran right now, that would be it. Make small mistakes and make sure it doesn't end your business.
But you know, I mean, another quote on that, you know, I've, again, a mentor, a guy who is like a second father to me and has been excellent to me, and has helped me, my foundation and myself in many ways. And he shared a story with me too. He had started his own business right out of high school, and about 2 or 3 years later, they were flat broke, sitting in front of, you know, doing the bankruptcy thing, trying to figure out a way to kind of work with the bank. And he said he broke down crying, and he was in front of the, you know, the bankers and the lawyers. And he said, "I'm a failure." And the banker came up to him and he said, "Son, you're not a failure. You're just broke." And there's a big difference there. I just share that story because, honestly, it's been one of the best pieces of advice that I've ever had. Because trust me, every aspiring entrepreneur will be broke or borderline broke or feel like they're about to be broke. And that doesn't mean you're a failure. And I tell you what. You learn from these experiences. And I would also say, again, not to be preachy, but learn to find the financing so it doesn't put your entire family's life savings at jeopardy. I think that's where a lot of entrepreneurs fail too. Like, they kind of come in and they say, "Hey, I'm going to empty the whole bank account to do this dream." And guess what? If it doesn't work, then that's why they feel like a failure. But I think if they can get the financing through other, you know, outlets like SBA, etc. I think that that's what I would encourage as well. Spread that risk a little bit, invest in your idea. And if it didn't work out, you know what? I applaud everybody who ever took that leap.
I love that. I love that last piece about finding the finance too, because I think of my own life, where especially when I met my wife, I think she helped me become much more financially responsible. And in retrospect, realizing that, When I felt like I had all my finances on the line, when I felt like I didn't have a lot of financial freedom, that's a really tough spot to be creative from. That's a really tough spot to, like, think of big ideas and big solutions, because it's more of a survival mindset. And so what I love about what you're saying is finding ways to mitigate the risk. You're already putting your entire life into this. To put your own finances or your family's finances into that, that just adds to that stress level, which I think makes it harder to come up with a lot of the creativity needed to get any new idea off the ground and bring it into life.
Yeah, I can't agree with, you know, like you just said, you know, I think we're both living proof of that. You know, once you make that commitment, make the commitment, and that's okay. And I think that's where, if you do make, you know, like you said, you empty out that entire piggy bank, and when things are not going well or there's a lot of hard decisions still in front of you, it can cloud your judgment when you're looking back about where the source of that money came. Now, that's not to say that you need to put your own skin in the game, because I do believe in that, because I think that will make sure that you're more invested into the work that you do. But, you know, don't be afraid. I mean, the stats are out there about starting your own business, and sometimes it feels daunting, and sometimes it's not in your favor. But it's about, I think, leadership and not having a plan and following through. And that's something that we have an advantage as veterans that we should continue to use.
That's great. That's great. I was also wondering about, you had mentioned earlier Rocket Fuel. I think that's a great book. I'll put that for listeners. I'll put that in the show notes for this. I'm wondering if there's any other resources, books, podcast, website, courses, anything else that's helped you in your post-military career that you would recommend other veterans to check out?
Yeah, I think, you know, again, it's a lot, again, back to the balance issues before, you know, we kind of have a healthy arrangement with my wife where I used to wake up early, you know, be with our dogs, kind of put the TV on. And then I used to spend like an hour or two in the morning, even on the weekends, just to kind of get caught up about what's new. You know, I spent a lot of time just kind of researching, pretty active on LinkedIn. I recommend all veterans get on that and use it. I admit I am a serial preemptor, LinkedIn requester, but I tell you what, I've used it to my advantage. I don't even have a Facebook account. So I would say get very savvy on LinkedIn. This isn't just for posting things. It's about learning how to connect with folks and then when appropriate to kind of follow up on those connections. And on the other side, I make a plug for some good friends who are another nonprofit doing great things. I don't know if you're familiar with the Bunker Labs. They're based out of Chicago.
Yep.
And they've got satellite offices around the country, and they're really neat organizations. So Todd Connor, the founder, and I've met some of the other leadership, just really good people. And they've used their own experiences as accomplished entrepreneurs. And like, again, kind of very similar to this conversation. There's some podcasts, there's some examples. It's a great networking opportunity. It's an opportunity to take a look at the business plan, punch holes in it, take a look at your pitch deck, you know, what you would do when you are going to go out there and try to ask for money. And it's just great coaching, mentoring, and access to resources and people, which normally would not be afforded to the average citizen. And it's specifically reserved for veterans. So I would say take advantage of it. Get on their website, find out what cities are nearby, or just pick up the phone and reach out to them and say, hey, I'm a veteran. You know, what do you think? And they have, you know, people want to help us. That's the other thing, you know, it's like people want to help veterans. They want to see that we want to succeed, especially in the workforce, and taking our own direction. So I think, you know, when you look back two generations ago, when men came home from World War II, 50% of those guys started their own company or were entrepreneurs. And now is sad to say, probably less than 5%. And I think that makes a big difference about how we touch the fabric of our community, not just from the work that we do, but, you know, our outlet to the world and seen as, you know, business leaders and impacting others, not only through the work that we do, but who we are as people and leaders in the workforce. So I would just say there's a lot of resources out there. Continue to dig through that and avoid the common pitfalls. And I'll just say this too. There's a lot of times where you're sitting on websites. If you're on this website for 10, 15 minutes and you can't find out how it's actually helping you, move on. I think a lot of guys just get sucked into some of these traditional websites and they don't really do much for you.
Mm, that's great. It does seem like Bunker Labs is a great resource for listeners who are interested in learning more. If you look at episode 38 with Chris Shaw, he talks about his experience starting a company. He's been involved in Bunker Labs, and I believe he's in New York. He's one of the directors there in New York. So it's definitely worth listening to that episode and checking them out, because it's a free resource and an exceptional resource for veterans.
And the biggest thing is the access to capital too. You know, like, given that you do have a good plan and something that somebody would want to finance, I think you have a better chance of trying to work through their channels. That doesn't mean Bunker Labs writes checks. What it means is it might provide you access to people who will.
That's great. Well, I always like to end with an open-ended question, and that's just knowing that you have this audience of fellow veterans. We've covered a lot here today that will help them, but what else would you want them to know? Any other advice you'd want to pass on, or anything that we didn't cover that you'd really want them to know?
Yeah, if I can kind of go back to the point of one of the most important things that I did when I got out of the Marine Corps was to get involved in philanthropy. I talked about it earlier, but I would say I would not be where I am today if I had just tried to build this model by myself as an aspiring business owner. You got to get involved in your community. You have no idea how many things or how many rocks will be unturned for you. Get involved with philanthropy. It also will change your mindset about how, asking for money in a charity sense is only going to prepare you for asking for money when you need it for real for your business, when you're ready to do that one day. And I think that the other thing I'll say is you're never going to go broke by trying to help too many people. You'll never go broke. And I think that using that mentality has really enriched my life. And I define success with how many people that I've gotten to meet and to have good, healthy relationships with. And I don't equate shares we've sold or how many dollars we've raised. It's about how many people can we help with the work that we do. So it's been very inspirational for me. And I would invite every veteran. It's a good way to get you off the couch, get you connected to your community, help set direction, and it'll be access to resources that you normally wouldn't view that as.
I think that's such a great lens. You had talked earlier about networking, how that's difficult for veterans, how it can be viewed as this dirty word. I think that the lens and the perspective you provided of giving back, helping other people, I think that that's the most accessible way for veterans for networking, is just to approach it as meeting people, seeing where you can help, like how you can give back. And it sounds like in your life, that's what's led to a lot of these mentorships and advisors. I know for myself as well, like so many of the best connections I've ever had came from just like trying to be a decent human being and trying to help people out. I think that comes naturally to veterans. And I think that that's a great toehold, a great foothold into networking, where it's not about meeting people and trying to find ways that they can help you out. Just like connecting with people, trying to give back, and that in general tends to lead to good things and probably feels a lot more natural for most veterans.
Yeah, I mean, so for example, like with LinkedIn, how we talked about that before, this isn't about yourself. This is about, hey, when you link in with somebody, you should be asking yourself, hey, what can this person do for me? But at the exact same time, what can I do for that person? This veteran, I might know a guy who knows a gal who knows somebody, and I can help them out. And guess what? You return that favor, you never know where a year or two down the line, they might do the same for you. So I think that that's a great mentality. The fact that we are veterans, we're creatures of habit. So we kind of tend to be in the company of each other. But, you know, use that to our advantages, because a lot of guys, they might not be an entrepreneur, but they might be involved in a business or working at a business that might help your business down the line. And, you know, just very similar to what we did in Iraq and Afghanistan for those who have served in these two most recent wars. It's like, for the fact that most of it wasn't kinetics for all of us. It was about opening roads. It was about getting schools reopened again. It was about getting water pumped into an area. It was about cleaning up the garbage. It was about a lot of different things. And that is just born out of service. And it's no different when you get involved with philanthropy.
This is great. Well, for people who are listening, I'm wondering, Seth, where can they learn more about Dog Tag, about the foundation, about the brewery? And if what you're saying has resonated with them, what are different ways that they can support you and your mission?
Yeah, sure. The website is dogtagbrewing.org. You know, we want to be known as a foundation that is doing work for the families of the fallen who are largely been neglected. And I think that we need a lot of different things. We need people's time. We need their expertise. We need their connections. And we need money. And in order to do that work, if people want to help us, please reach out. We'd love to have you on board the team. Okay, this is a movement. And the more folks we have in the fold, the better it gets.
Well, this is great, Seth. And for listeners, I'll put all these links in the show notes, but that's at dogtagbrewing.org. There'll be links to a video they put together talking about their organization, links to their website, and different ways to get involved. So thanks so much for your time and advice, Seth.
Oh, it was my pleasure. And Semper Fidelis, always faithful.
Surface.
Thanks for listening. Three important notes before you go. First, Audible.com is offering a free audiobook for Beyond the Uniform listeners. I love Audible. I get 3 books a month, and it's a great way to use net, or no extra time, to polish off books while you run, drive, etc. If you go to beyonduniform.io/books, you'll not only find this offer, but you'll also find a list of every single book that has been recommended on this show. One in particular I'd recommend is The Hard Thing About Hard Things. This is a great story of determination and also a glimpse at what startups are really like. That's at beyonduniform.io/books.
Second, there are so many great resources out there for veterans, it can be difficult to know all about them. That's why at beyonduniform.io/directory, you'll find a list of every single resource that's been mentioned on the show or that I've been able to find. You can also add your own if you find one I've missed. Lastly, I've put together several different free ebooks that provide data for veterans about their civilian career possibilities. This quantitative information serves as a great complement to the qualitative interviews I do each week. Go to beyonduniform.io, click on resources, and you'll be all set. Have a great week, and I'll be back next week with more interviews with military veterans about their civilian career.
meet and to have good, healthy relationships with. And I don't equate years we've sold or how many dollars we've raised. It's about how many people can we help with the work that we do. So it's been very inspirational for me, and I would invite every veteran. It's a good way to get you off the couch, get you connected to your community, help set direction, and it'll be access to resources that you normally wouldn't.
I think that's such a great lens. You had talked earlier about networking, how that's difficult for veterans, how it can be viewed as this dirty word. I think that the lens and the perspective you provided of giving back, helping other people, I think that that's the most accessible way for veterans for networking, is just to approach it as meeting people, seeing where you can help, like how you can give back. And it sounds like in your life, that's what's led to a lot of these mentorships and advisors. I know for myself as well, like so many of the best connections I've ever had came from just like trying to be a decent human being and trying to help people out. I think that comes naturally to veterans. And I think that that's a great toehold, a great foothold into networking, where it's not about meeting people and trying to find ways that they can help you out. Just like connecting with people, trying to give back, and that in general tends to lead to good things and probably feels a lot more natural for most veterans.
So for example, like with LinkedIn, how we talked about that before, this isn't about yourself. This is about, hey, when you link in with somebody, you should be asking yourself, hey, what can this person do for me? But at the exact same time, what can I do for that person? This veteran, I might know a guy who knows a gal who knows somebody, and I can help them out. And guess what? You return that favor, you never know where a year or two down the line they might do the same for you. So I think that that's a great mentality. The fact that we are veterans, we're creatures of habit, so we kind of tend to be in the company of each other. But you know, use that to our advantages, because a lot of guys, they might not be an entrepreneur, but they might be involved in a business or working at a business that might help your business down the line. And you know, just very similar to what we did in Iraq and Afghanistan for those who have served in these two most recent wars. It's like, for the fact of it, most of it wasn't kinetics for all of us. It was about opening roads. It was about getting schools reopened again. It was about getting water pumped into an area. It was about cleaning up the garbage. It was about a lot of different things, and that is just born out of service, and it's no different
when
you get involved.
Well, for people who are listening, I'm wondering, Seth, where can they learn more about Dog Tag, about the foundation, about the brewery? And if what you're saying has resonated with them, what are different ways that they can support you and your mission?
Yeah, sure. The website is dogtagbrewing.org. You know, we want to be known as a foundation that is doing work for the families of the fallen who are largely been neglected. And I think that we need a lot of different things. We need people's time. We need their expertise. We need their connections, and we need money. And in order to do that work, if people want to help us, please reach out. We'd love to have you on board the team. Okay. This is a movement. And the more folks we have in the fold.
Well, this is great, Seth. And for listeners, I'll put all these links in the show notes, but that's at dogtagbrewing.org. There'll be links to a video they put together talking about their organization, links to their website, and different ways to get involved. So thanks so much for your time and advice, Seth.
Oh, it was my pleasure. And Semper Fidelis, always faithful.